Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Shimon, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's on the keyboard. I expected him to praise God with... not with your mouth. Praise the Lord with your keyboard. Praise the Lord. He's getting in the groove. Amen. Dear God, as we go into your word, we ask that you speak to us individually and collectively, in Jesus' name. A word in season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you just ask the person next to you, what is your 2020 vision? What is your 2020 vision? What do you see? What is your 20... They don't have to answer you, but I want them to think about it. What is your 2020 vision? Someone asked me that question several months back. And I thought, is it a trick question? Is it a trick question? Because you think 2020 vision, what do you think about? What do you think about? Vision 2020, perfect vision. Or plans for the year 2020. So for a lot of us, I see, you know, when I was younger, we'll say Specky Four Eyes. Those of us, I'm new to the club, but yeah. So the club of Specky Four Eyes, you know, when you boast sometimes, God has a way of dealing with you. For years, I was always going on that, man, God has blessed me with 2020 vision. And I look at all the guys wearing glasses and thinking, hey, Al. Now, someone was making fun of me that now I'm going to put it on and I'll be looking like this. It's true. I'm still getting used to it. But, you know, when we talk about 2020 vision, we tend to think about perfect eyesight. Yes? So perfect eyesight. You see everything clearly. It's the best it should be and it can be. But also the year 2020 we're hearing, talking about our vision, our plans, our goals, our objectives, our targets for this year. So fusing the two together, how clear is our vision? How clear is our vision? What do we see towards 2020? You know, in our prayer in the homes, over the Friday, I'm sure most of us attended various ones. In our particular one, we looked at 1 Peter 2:9. And it was a reassurance of, you know, who God has called you to be. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You've been called to show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is God's word concerning you. That is what God has said about you, that you're chosen, you're royal, you're special, you're God's very own possession. He's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, that's what God has said about you. Romans 11:29 says that God's gifts and calling are without repentance. Some version says they're irrevocable. So, in as much as God has called you, he's called you for a purpose. In as much as he's gifted you with certain things, he's giving you those gifts for a purpose. In as much as you've been saved by his grace, it's for a reason. He says they're irrevocable. So God is not going to recant on what he has given you. He's not going to change his mind concerning what he has called you to be. But I guess for me, what's important is that as we go through the year, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. I think the challenge is this. If I look at you and I see someone that is well able, you've got what it takes. You've I'll give an example. My wife was sharing with me sometime last year about a workplace and a job offer, you know, a new job position came up. And she was talking to a colleague. She was like, go for it. And this colleague, a junior colleague, the guy was like, I'm not ready for it. But she was looking at the person and thinking, you're ready for it. You've got what it takes to do it. He did not go for it. Obviously, if you don't go for something, you're not going to get it. Bottom line, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So he didn't get it. I think the job ad went out. External people applied. Nobody got it. Later on, I think the young man's manager then came to me and said, that, you know what, we want you to take on this role. So obviously not just one person, a few people were seen in that person that you've got the potential. You've got what it takes to do it. But yet all he was thinking is, I can't, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And if you're in a position of, I'm not able, I can't do it, where you're meant to be, you wouldn't get there. Oh, I'm not yet at a manager's level. The guys that are managers, do they have two heads? Do they have two brains? Come on. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. How do you see yourself? What is God seeing when he sees you? And how do you see yourself? Praise the Lord. We're going to look at a passage, and we'll use this as our case study this morning. Jeremiah. So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to start from verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. And I read. It says, the Lord gave me this message. This is Jeremiah speaking. It says, the Lord gave me this message. Verse 5. I knew you before I formed you. In your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now that's God speaking. It says, before you were born, I set you apart. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So there was a specific call upon Jeremiah's life. And God was telling him, that's it. What was this young man's response? He said, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Now, scholars say that Jeremiah would have been possibly between 14 and tops, 25 or 30. So in that youth range, between 14 and max 30. And what did he have to say? You know what, I can't talk for you, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. But God was saying, even before I formed you in your mother's womb, I already knew you. I had a particular call, I had a particular purpose concerning you. There's something I wanted you to do. What was Jeremiah's response? Wow, I'm a young man, I'm too young, I can't do it. And how many of us, let's be real with ourselves, how many of us have given such excuses to God? This morning we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And to be honest, I think we were just tripping over each other. Is wisdom the application of knowledge? Is understanding experience based? I wouldn't start there now. I'm too young. God has called you to do something. You know it. Sometimes, and I think we can be real with ourselves, sometimes we know what God wants us to do. For some of us, God has given us, he has spoken specifically to us, either individually, or he's used someone to speak to us, or he's revealed certain things to us through his word. We know it. But you're thinking, hey, I'm not quite there yet. I'm not spiritual enough yet. I'm still a young kid. I'm just finishing secondary school. Oh, I'm still in uni. I've got my whole life ahead of me. Oh, I just graduated. There's still so much more I can do. Oh, I'm still young. They say life begins at, not anymore, apparently. Those that are way older say that it's even, you know, life begins at 50. Baba might say life began at 70. It's 80, it begins, so you're not there yet. So, you see, wherever the life begins, the reality is, there's a saying that procrastination is a thief of time. We keep pushing things back. We keep looking for excuses. Oh, what's my excuse? Actually, I just got married. I think the latest married couple, they might have gone on a second honeymoon right now. They're not in church today. I just got married. Oh, you know what? I'm about to do my A-levels, so I don't really have time. Oh, I'm about to do my GCSEs. I'm looking at some people. I'm about to do my GCSEs. I'm not really quite. Oh, I just entered uni. This is my time. Actually, I'm in my final year. I'm going to graduate. I need to study. I need to spend time. Oh, I just got this new job. I don't have time. Oh, I'm actually, you know, I'm working towards this promotion. I need to dedicate more time. Oh, I just retired. Even the retired people. Oh, I just retired. Now is the time for me to relax. There will always be something. There will always be something. For Jeremiah, it was a case of, I'm too young. I'm a youth. But there are other examples in the Bible. Think about Moses. What was Moses' excuse? Moses, God called Moses. Exodus 4:10. Exodus 4:10. Moses' excuse was speech impairment. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. His excuse was speech impairment. Oh, you know what? I stammer. I can't talk in public. I'm not eloquent enough. Praise the Lord. It says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Praise the Lord. That's an interesting one. I get tongue-tied. So, you know, the message you're giving, the things you want me to, I can't say it. You know, when I speak with a very funny accent. That's, some of us, that's our excuse. You know, I'm not very, my son likes saying some people are very posh when they talk. He'll say they're posh. And I tell him, I'm like, aren't you posh? We're all posh. We're all posh in our own right. Come on, there's a joke of, you know, about some Caucasians went to a place in a developing context. And these guys, you know, they were about to eat. And obviously, what do? They washed their hands and dug in with their hand. And the Caucasians looked at them and thought, wow, these guys are barbarians. They're eating with their hands. And what did the Caucasians do? They brought out their forks and knife, very proper, prim and proper etiquette, and they were doing this cutting. And the other guys looked at them and like, wow, these people are barbarians. They're eating with metal. So it's a matter of perspective. Who isn't posh? I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I don't sound good. Is it about the words? Or is it about what God is going to use you to do? You see some folks, and you look at them, yet when they speak, when they give God's message, you know it's coming from the throne of grace. It's not about how they look. It's not about how they dress. It's not about how they sound. The power of the Holy Spirit backs them because God gave them a word, and they're fulfilling God's mission. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. You know, in that particular story, God got very upset with Moses. How many of us are aware of that? Because God was saying, this is what I've said about you. This is what I've called you to do. Don't tell me you're not eloquent. I know you. before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew the plans I had concerning you. Praise the Lord. So, Moses, excuse, speech impairment. How about the 10 tribal leaders that were sent to spy out the land? What was their excuse? Low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. Numbers 13:33, please. Numbers 13:33. Their case, it was a case of low self-esteem. It's interesting because 12 people were called. They were actually leaders in Israel. So they weren't just anybody. They were leaders of each one of them was a leader in the tribe. 12 of them were called, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. They went, they saw the land, they saw that it was fantastic. I mean, the grapes they say they brought from the land. I wish I could see those kind of grapes. Massive. The fruits, everything. They say, truly, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a blessed land. The land is fertile. It's everything God has said it is. But what did they see? They said, we even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak. I think some versions say Nephilim. The descendants of Anak, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Some versions say that, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Do you see yourself as incapable? I'm not quite there yet. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Because if that's what you see, that's how others will see you. If you think you're not good enough, there's no way you can convince me you're good enough. Does that make sense? Low self-esteem. I'm not quite there yet. Oh, no, I haven't qualified. I'm not good enough. I said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Do you see yourself as a grasshopper, or do you see yourself as fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you see yourself as complete in Him? Because that's who you are. You're complete in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Low self-esteem. Speech impairment, youth, old age, lack of finance, not quite there yet. I haven't built that house. I haven't bought that car. I'm still waiting to get married. I'm still waiting for that child. I'm still waiting for that second child. And some people, I'm still waiting for that sixth child. God will help you. I'm still waiting for, what are you waiting for? What is it that is stopping you? Jeremiah, youth. I say that you need to stop putting yourself down. As we're going through 2020, as we're going through this year, you need to stop putting yourself down. God has, the Bible refers to us as, treasures in earthen vessels. It says treasures in jars of clay. That's what we are. The human body, funny enough, I was listening to Miles Monroe, one of his old messages, and he was talking about human as the humus man. This body is just an outer shell. Because the spirit in you is so much greater than the body. You've got a treasure in clay, in a jar of clay. Let that treasure come out. Don't let the jar of clay determine who you are and what you do. Let the spirit in you, the spirit that God has given you, that is you, let it thrive, let it come out. because it is a treasure. Stop putting yourself down. They're not better than you. You're good enough. Whatever it is that God has called you to, whatever he has asked you to do, you know, God doesn't just tell you, go do it. He equips you to do what he wants you to do. Moses gave his excuse, oh, I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. God said, what's in your hand? Oh, just a normal staff, a rod, a stick. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. What happened? It became a snake. He said, pick it up again. He picked it up. It turned back into a rod. God can use anything that is in your hand. Praise the Lord. Verse 7 says, the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and whatever I tell you. And verse 8, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So God is giving us a reassurance. Don't let anything hold you back. Whatever it is, let it go. Because God is saying, I will be with you. I will protect you. I always tell my son, because, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I say, you know what? The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So what looks so challenging? What is that thing you're thinking, you know what, I can't do it? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Do you believe that? Yes, yeah, sometimes it's good to confess certain things. I like the man that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because he knew that there were still challenges, but he was saying, I believe. Even though there might be doubts. Oh, I'm not quite there yet, but I believe I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you believe that? Can we repeat that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we repeat that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in 2020, as you go through this year, are you going to be able to do all things? Why? Because Christ has given you the strength. He has equipped you to accomplish all that you need to do. Verse 9 says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. I pray that as we go through this year, that God will continually put his word in our mouths. And some of you might notice, I like praying for a word in season. That God will help you to speak the right word at the right time. You know, wherever you find yourself, to speak the right word to the right people. Because what you would say to one might not be what God wants you to say to the other. So that with amongst your friends, with your colleagues, in the bus, in your neighborhood, a word in season, the right word. God has put the word in your mouth. That for all, each and every one of us, as we go, we'll speak a word in season, the right word to the right person, in the mighty name of Jesus. It says, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today, I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down. Others you must build up and plant. Praise the Lord. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down. Destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. You know, some things, good things are easy. When everything is all well and good, it's not an issue. The Lord said that you're blessed. He says it's taking you to a higher place. That message is convenient. I can share that. But the Lord is telling you something very critical that will not be palatable. that is not so easy to share. He has put the word in your mouth. What has he put in your mouth? What has he asked you to proclaim? The message that he's put in your mouth might not be what the person wants to hear. But if that is what God has put in your mouth, you need to share it. You need to be bold to proclaim. Praise God. You need to be bold to proclaim his word. Where he wants you, again this morning, I'd like to encourage us all. Let's, you know, Sunday school, let's be part of it. For those of you that are workers and you're missing out on workers' meeting, need to do better. We're talking about discernment. Sometimes, you know, you need to know what God wants you to say, when he wants you to say it, how he wants you to say it. Sometimes you can have the right word, but you can deliver it in a wrong way. Without being sensitive to, you know, the person God wants you to speak to. And that could make all the difference. To act rightly, I remember when I was in the university, one of my lecturers was talking. He said he went to a car park. I always smile when I see Bing Pei's car. She's got a sticker on it that says, God loves me. Is it God loves me or Jesus loves me? Jesus loves you. So, you know, I always, at the back of her car, she's got Jesus loves you. It's a bold statement. Because everybody that sees that car will think, all right, this is one of those Jesus people. This is one of those people that believe in God. Now imagine with my Jesus loves you sticker. There was something about I'm redeemed or something like that. Massive sticker at the back of his car. All the way, the back window, the rear window, he had it there. Now, so you've taken a bold step. You've said something about yourself. And then some of us, we learned to drive on the streets of Lagos. So when we drive, we're sharp. I use the word, we're sharp drivers. We're very smart drivers. We can cut corners and do this and, you know, weave our way through anything. So with my Jesus loves you sticker, I go to the shop, the supermarket. There's only one space left. You see an old person trying to maneuver to park. But because you learned to drive, if you can drive in Lagos, you can drive in where? New York. You can drive in New Delhi. You can drive in Mexico City. I think those are the busy places. And while that person is trying to park, and you know, your own reverse parking and three-point turn, you don't even look. Just, and you're parked. And that was what this guy did. And the person stepped out and came to meet him and said, I like your sticker, but I don't like your style. How will that make you feel? No, think about it. You've got that very nice cross that you wear. Or is it a chastity band or, you know, whatever. Or my John 3:16 band. Or the 4 points band. You know all those, you've got all those. And it says something about you. But is your lifestyle saying the same thing? Is your lifestyle saying the same thing? God is saying, yes, put the word in your mouth. To pull down, to build up. We need to ensure that the things we're saying align with the things we do, with the way we live our life, so that we do not bring God's name to disrepute. You know why Moses and Aaron, why they didn't make the promised land? God said that they did not deem it fit to honor him, to esteem him. Say, touch the rock, let the water come out. It struck the rock. And for God, that was not what he asked them to do. That was not what he asked Moses to do. There's a difference between tap and punch. Some folks, they'll say they're greeting you, and they give you a hard slap on the back. And, you know, you hear a loud yelp, and they'll be like, you know, thinking what happened. It's just that is not greeting, right? Tap, punch, touch the rock, strike the rock, different things. God is very clear. Very, very clear. If he says speak to the rock, are you speaking? You know, the way God did something yesterday may not be the way he wants to do it today. So God used you to do something yesterday in a particular way. He used you to be a blessing to some folks. You prayed for some folks and they got their healing. Maybe that's not what he wants you to do today. Maybe he just wants you to speak some words into their lives. And they go away, they think about those words, and it makes a difference in their lives. Verse 11 says, the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And verse 12, and the Lord said, that's right. And it means that I am watching and I will certainly carry out all my plans. Can I have that verse 12 in New King James Version? Jeremiah 1:12. Okay, JV. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. God touched Jeremiah despite his doubts. Then he asked him, what are you seeing? He saw as God wanted him to see. And God said, you have seen well because I'm ready to perform my word. And God is ready to perform his word in your lives in Jesus' name. When you look to the future, you need to see as God sees. So that it's only when you see what God sees that you'll be able to do what he wants you to do. It's when you see what God sees that you'll be able to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. It's when you see what God sees that you'll be able to say what he wants you to say. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is my challenge for us as we go through this year, that we need to see as God sees. Yes, God has given us Isaiah 43:19, that, you know, he's doing a new thing. Are you not seeing it? Shall you not see it? Shall you not behold it? It's there to be seen, the new thing he's going to do. But are you in the right place to do so? Do you have the 2020 vision, God's type of vision, to see what he's seeing? We'll just look quickly at one more passage. You know the story of that man of Bethesda, or Bethsaida, in Mark 8, that the Lord Jesus healed. Mark 8:22-25. Mark 8:22-25. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. You know, we have to be careful not to box God. Earlier on, I was saying that the way God dealt with us yesterday might not be the way he wants to deal with us today. Let's just try and visualize what Jesus Christ did. He said, he spat. He spat on his eyes. I think some version that he took mud and, you know, and put it. And you're thinking, the God that can say, do you want to be whole? Yes, you're made whole. All right, Lord, heal me. Okay, let it be according to your faith. Why did he need to spit and do? Some of us will even say, you know, what? Yuck. No, that's real now. Spit on my eyes. What's that? The Syrian generals, not. I was going to say the Syrian general. I'm not talking about Naaman. Thank you. I'm not talking about the guy that died, the Iranian. No. But, you know, Naaman, what did Naaman say? Naaman said, aren't there better rivers in Syria, where I'm coming from? It's the dirty Jordan River. You want me to go and dip in? Come on. Come on. You know, some of us, we're too posh for certain things. Praise the Lord. I remember when I came to do my master's in the UK. Sorry, I like telling stories. Pardon me. And a friend of mine was like, you know, let's go look for a job. And I went to one of these agencies. And they brought out, they said, we had to do a test. I was thinking, all right. And they conducted a test. The guy was very critical and everything. And after we finished the test, I was asking, okay, so what kind of job are we talking about? And the guy said, well, they've got some sandwich factories and everything. How many of us know? Okay, I won't mention the name of the place because we're recording. And after doing all that test, and, you know, the lecture the guy gave me, he now said that we'll be going to sandwich factory. It's not pride. I was like, me. You know, there's a Yoruba adage, I'm Yoruba. And they said that the child that the mother gave birth to and used a silk woven wrapper to back. But, you know, I was coming from a professional job thinking, I think what got it to me was the tests. As in, it was a serious test that, you know, we finished the test and everything. I was thinking, yeah, yeah. And now say that we're going to be going to sandwich factory. So you put me through all this. So I was like, in fact, I don't want any job. My friends called me, like, they were like, don't do that. Anyway, we ended up going to do order picking. So we didn't go to the sandwich factory. Praise the Lord. You know, God has a way of dealing with us. Where I was doing the order picking, the guys I was working with, one of them was a medical doctor that worked for like 10 years, just came to the UK, and was every day, we're picking orders. Actually, it was for mother care back then. We're picking orders, and this guy will be like, back home in Ghana, I had driver, I had, you know, people waiting on me, and here I, it was a Ghanaian. It's funny enough, he's still in Leicester. You know, it'll be like, I had a driver that takes me around, I had a cook, I had this. We're picking orders, and that's what it's just lamenting on. But, you know, sometimes God might put you somewhere so that you can get where you ought to be. Praise the Lord. It seemed odd that Jesus Christ will spit and use a spit. But he has, that if that's what he chooses to do, that is God. Let him do as he wills. We can't question God in that regard. Let us trust him totally. And what he wants to do, he will perform in Jesus' name. This guy, Jesus got the spit, put it, said, okay, what do you see? What did he see? He said, so he took, all right, next verse. He said, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now, you'd agree with me, that's not perfect vision. He said, I see men like trees walking. And then verse 25. He says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Peradventure, you're one of those people that God is still... See, you've heard this phrase before. God is not done with me yet. You know, perhaps God is still working on you. Perhaps you're at the stage where you're seeing men like trees walking. But God wants you to see clearly. Praise the Lord. We're going to rise up. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our 2020 vision. If you're already seeing clearly, shall we rise to our feet? Shall we rise to our feet? Peradventure, it is very clear to you what God has said. It's very clear to you what God wants you to accomplish. Your sin as God is seen, it should make it easier. If there's anything holding you back, why don't you just pray to the Lord that, Lord, help me. Help me to walk in the fullness of your plan. The plan that you have preordained for me. Help me to walk in it. Peradventure, you're one of those people that it's still not quite clear. God is not finished with you yet. God is still doing his business on you. Ask him to complete his perfect work in you. God wants you to see clearly. He wants you to see as he sees. He wants that vision to be clear. So why don't you just pray that, Lord, help me to see clearly what your plan is for me, what your plan is concerning me, what you would have me do, where you would have me be, how you would have me walk, the things you would have me say. There's a fine balance between God acting and we playing our part. The Bible says God causes the rain to come upon both the good and the evil. So he causes the rain to come upon all alike. But it's the same God that said that, you know, while the earth remains, that seed time and harvest will not cease. There has to be a seed time for there to be an harvest. You have to put in certain things in certain areas. This morning, the ministers were told, sharing and praying concerning drawing closer to God. And we said that, you know, James 4:7 starts by saying that resist the devil and it will flee from you. Then verse 8 goes on to say, draw near to God and it will draw near to you. So there's a place to resist and there's a place to draw near. And we said that Paul said, you know, that his determined purpose is to know him. There has to be a determination from us to know him, to draw closer, to see as he sees. So God has said it, but are we reluctant? Are we giving excuses like Jeremiah, like Moses, like the tribe of Israel? Because of the excuses they gave, the journey that should have taken 40 days, they spent 40 years trying to accomplish what should have been like that. Are we giving excuses or are we yielding? What is your determined purpose in 2020? Yes, it's a year of amazement. Yes, it's a year that God is going to do awesome things, a new thing that you will see. But do you just want to behold or do you want to be a partaker of the new thing? Perhaps you're here and you want me to pray with you. You know that you're not where you ought to be. You know things have not been happening as they should. But you're ready, and you have to be ready. You're ready and willing to determine to have that closer walk with him. You want to make that conscious decision. That from your part, God is going about his business. From your part, you want to do better. But you want him to help you to do better. If you want me to pray with you on that note, please just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If there's anyone like that. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, because you said in your word that your gift and your calling, they're without repentance. We thank you for the call with which you've called us to your service. We pray, dear God, that your will be perfected in our lives in Jesus' name. As we go through this year, O God, and beyond, peradventure we've been seeing men like walking trees. We ask, O God, that you cause our vision to become clear, to become perfect in the mighty name of Jesus. That we'll begin to see as you see. That the things you've spoken concerning us, concerning our situations, concerning our lives, concerning our destiny, that will agree with you. That the best for us is yet to come. As we go through 2020, your best will begin to manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. Your word says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. We ask for the good and the perfect upon our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for rescuing us. We thank you for the salvation of our souls. And we say, oh Lord, that we will not go back in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our children. We pray for every single child in Amazing Grace Parish. And we use them as points of contact for children generally. Recently was on the news that there were cases of attempted kidnapping, even on this Victoria Park Road. A 16-year-old, they tried to kidnap her. In this Leicester, they said that there are people driving around enticing children with sweets, trying to get them into cars. We ask for protection upon every single one of our children. Where we are not, you're there with them. That, Lord, you'll keep them. They're going out and they're coming in. A 16-year-old girl, they try to draw into a vehicle. We thank you for deliverance. We pray, Lord, that you'll deliver all our young ones. The things that they may know of, the ones that they're not aware of, the dangers around, that you'll keep us, oh God. You'll keep all that are ours in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go into this week, we decree that it is well with each and every one of us. That testimonies will abound in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. For every day of the week, we'll have a cause, yet another reason to rejoice, to give all the praise back to you. To you be all the glory, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. And shall we share the grace and fellowship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.